This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
July 25th, 2018, Lake Moore, Illinois. Officer Brianna Tedesco starts her shift. It's 11 p.m. She's scheduled until 7 a.m. Tedesco is dressed in her duty uniform of shirt, pants, and outer ballistic vest. She has her Lake Moore police badge and nameplate pinned to the outside of her vest and is wearing a duty belt, which includes her standard duty gear. Her body camera is equipped, and along with a squad camera microphone, she has another microphone clipped to her left shoulder. Listener, the body cam and microphones will give us insight into the worst day of Officer Tedesco's career and present to us the night that she peered into soulless eyes.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Officer Tedesco is driving a marked police SUV squad vehicle, equipped with emergency lights and siren. She's assigned to the Lake County District in Lake Moore and is patrolling its subdivisions. Tedesco is driving northbound on Four Seasons Boulevard when she spots it, an SUV backed onto a gravel path. It's late into her shift now. The vehicle has its lights off. Suspicious. There's no reason for it to be parked here. The area is dark. The road is gravel. She's surrounded by trees, absolutely suffocated by them. Officer Tedesco pulled into the area and parks, facing the vehicle. She snaps on her squad lights and tells dispatch her location. It's here that she notes that there's no license plate on the front of the car. Again, suspicious. Officer Tedesco activates her body camera and syncs it with her squad camera. She carefully approaches the vehicle. The man is in a reclined position and sleeping. Tedesco snaps on and shines a flashlight at him. He jerks awake with a start and stares directly into the officer's eyes. The man starts the car and rolls his windows down.
Hello. 8511. It's going to be occupied by one male. Hi. Good, how are you? What are you doing parked back here?
Just taking a nap after a while.
Tedesco is interacting with 36-year-old Kenneth Martell. Listener, 2 days ago, Martell tied, robbed, beat, and stabbed to death an 88-year-old Theodore Garver in his Beaver Township home in Pennsylvania. After the murder, Kenneth Martell abducted some other individuals at gunpoint and forced them to aid Martell in the disposal of the man's body. Martell eventually dumped the body in a lake near Garver's residence. Of course, a murder warrant was issued for his arrest. Family members of Martell tell police at the time that he is a heavy, heavy meth user and in constant state of paranoia. Martell is known to make statements to friends and family that cops are going to kill him over a drug bust and that He is not going down without a fight. And Officer Tedesco has found herself on this gravel road in the middle of the night, surrounded by trees with no one nearby, with this man.
Okay, where are you coming from? How long have you been here?
I've been here for a while. I'm not positive how long.
Okay. Where are you headed?
Out west. Just got off the interstate and took off. That's all.
Okay. How did you find this place?
By accident.
Oh, that's pretty weird.
Martell tells Officer Tedesco that he had been napping. Martell states that he's from Pennsylvania, that he's heading west and found his current location by accident.
Do you happen to have a driver's license on you that I could see? You don't have a driver's license? Not on you? Do you have anything with your name on it? What about your vehicle registration? Anything with your name on it?
Did I do something wrong?
No. But you're parked on private property right now. It's suspicious that you're back here. This just doesn't normally happen. You were sleeping, so I needed to check on you, make sure that you are all right.
Yeah.
But I do need to identify who you are. You didn't do anything wrong. I just need to make sure that you're okay.
James Duncan. About changing, you know, I've been on the road.
Okay. Not a big deal. I just have to make sure, you know, you don't have any warrants or anything, which I'm sure you don't. Once I confirm that, you'll be on your way. No big deal. D-U-N-K-I-N?
James Duncan. Oh, you got the last part? D-U-N-K-I-N.
Do you have a middle initial, James?
Yeah.
And on your driver's license, it's James? Okay. What's your date of birth?
4/18/82.
And out of what state do you have a driver's license? Pennsylvania. 8511. I have a name and date of birth out of Pennsylvania. Last name is going to be Duncan, D. David, U. Union, N. Nora, K. King, I. Ida, N. Nora. First name is James, common spelling, with a middle initial, E. Edward, for a male, 4/18/82. 4/18/82 out of Pennsylvania.
Martell has asked for his driver's license. He claims he doesn't have one. Officer Tedesco asks for any document that might have his name on it. Martell looks around his car dramatically. He's buying time. Frustrated and scared, he asks if he's done something wrong. Tedesco assures him that she's simply checking on him because he's parked on private property. Martell lies and says his name is James Duncan. The officer asks for exact spelling, his date of birth, and the state issuing his license. She provides dispatch with this information. Martell is advised that dispatch will ensure that he has no warrant out for his arrest. Tedesco walks to the back of the car and writes down the license plate number. She advises fellow officer Liacano by radio that her location was just past the townhouse pulled off the roadway on Sullivan Lake Road. Tedesco is notified by the dispatcher that there is no record for the name provided by the man.
spit out your window last night? It's a little dirty there. Like you threw up or something.
Oh. I mean, dumped out to me.
Hmm.
Just passing, big plane cycle. 10-4,
we're just after the townhouses. We're pulled off to the side on Sullivan Lake. We're kind of hidden.
Either Illinois or Pennsylvania.
10-4. Alright. So you said your name was James, right? So how come they can't find you out of Pennsylvania? They're not finding a DL, a driver's license record for James Duncan. Do you have anything in the vehicle with your name on it? 8511. I have the 28-4 out of Pennsylvania. Henry Lincoln 4596. King Henry Lincoln 4596.
Martel was advised of this fact. Officer Tedesco again asks Mr. Martel for any document that would have his identity on it. Martel looks around the car and turns the interior light on. In the meantime, Officer Tedesco notifies dispatch of the car's license plate number. Martel at this point hands a piece of paper to Officer Tedesco. She takes the paper and glances down at it. She can hear Martel making noise inside the driver's door. And when she looks up, the man is lifting two guns. A struggle starts. Tedesco grabs the man's hands and is pushing both weapons down. If Martel breaks free, even for a moment, she's done for. Tedesco screams out into the night, pleading with the suspect. There's no one around to hear. She's telling him that she'll leave.
If you stop,
I'll leave.
Okay, let go.
No, let go.
No, please don't shoot me.
Slowly, the officer is losing the fight to keep these guns down. The man's arms inching closer and closer to that window opening. And when he gets his arms free, guns pointed at her, Tedesco knows exactly what will happen. And in the single worst moment of Tedesco's life, one of the man's arms break free. He points the gun in that hand at Officer Tedesco's face as she begs not to be shot. And then... her partner, who just arrived, fires his service pistol with near perfect accuracy into Martel's face. If Officer Anthony Loacano was even a second late to the scene, his partner would now be dead.
8521, shots fired by the police. What suspect down?
Oh my God, Anthony.
21, 10-4,
shots fired.
At 4:58 a.m., Loacano was at the Lakemoor Police Department doing paperwork. Officer Loacano heard a radio communication that Officer Tedesco had located a suspicious vehicle on Sullivan Lake Boulevard. He left the station and proceeded towards Officer Tedesco's location to provide cover. As Loacano was driving, he continued to monitor radio traffic. He heard that the name and date of birth provided to Officer Tedesco had been run through the system and came back with no record of any individual with those identifiers. Officer Loacano, believing that this individual may be providing a false name, could be wanted, increased his speed to promptly get to the location. He pulled up to the rear of his partner's vehicle. His windows were up, but he could still hear his partner screaming. Loacano put his squad car in park and ran to assist his partner. He saw that Tedesco was in a fight for her life. The driver looked as if he was trying to pull his partner into the car through the driver's window. At this point, Martel had both hands raised. Each hand had a revolver in it. The man pulled his arms fully free of Tedesco's grasp. Officer Loacano drew his weapon, leaned to the right, and fired one round into Martel's face. Martel's body slumped back in the driver's seat. According to Tedesco, Martel pulled the trigger on one of his revolvers, but the first shot seems like it was a misfire. He was going to fire again when he was shot by Loacano.
8521, 10-4, shots fired.
He had two guns.
All right, cover me, okay?
Deputy units holding it for Lakemore. Lakemore, right,
step to the side,
you.
Step to the side. 10-4.
10-4, rescue started. We'll stage him.
All right, I'm going for the... Just point the other way. 10-4. If you can go ahead and make notification to Command Force, please.
10-4, notification to Command Z-Mate.
All right.
85-21, you want county out there?
10-4. 10-4. Oh, come on.
I knew he had a gun.
10-4, we're getting him started.
I couldn't get mine.
Just relax, okay? Go ahead, let me go on. I just rolled up and heard you screaming.
I don't know what would have happened if you didn't get there. And I, like, looked down. I was looking at that paper, and then I heard him reaching for something in the door. And all I saw is the barrel in my face. And so I grabbed it with both hands to try to push it down. And then he started grabbing for the second gun. And that's when I was like, please don't shoot me, because I couldn't let go of his gun to get mine.
Now on the scene, Loacano takes a moment to breathe, then opens the now dead man's vehicle door. Loacano takes the gun from Martel's lap and places it on the ground. He tries to move Martel by his arm, but he's heavy and stiff in his seat, already going cold.
Got a little blood on me. They look like they're loaded.
They
doesn't look like it. I'm not touching the other one right now.
Eighty-five, 11, and 21.
85, 10
is en route and notified.
10-4. Advise him. We're on just off of Sullivan Lake, past the townhouses, into a little cutoff area. You should see my squad lights.
Custody.
We have one male with a gunshot wound to the head.
10-4.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we navigate the complex narratives of true crime, it's clear that life's stressors, both big and small, can accumulate, affecting our daily lives and mental health. It's important to have a space to voice these concerns. To unravel the personal mysteries we carry within us, therapy offers a safe space to do just that. It's not only for moments of crisis, But for anyone aiming to foster better coping skills, set healthy boundaries, and ultimately, thrive. BetterHelp facilitates this by providing online therapy that's tailored to your schedule, making it both convenient and flexible. With BetterHelp, starting therapy is straightforward. Fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. If you find your needs aren't being met, you can switch therapists at any time without any additional charges, ensuring you find the right fit for your journey. If you've been considering therapy or curious about how it can help, give BetterHelp a try. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/Obscura today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Obscura. Take a moment to support your mental health. As we take a moment's pause in the middle of our exploration of the dark corners of humanity, let's explore a different kind of mystery. One that takes you back to the roaring 1920s with June's Journey. In this hidden object game, you slip into the role of June Parker, tasked with unraveling the murder mystery of her sister. Each scene is meticulously designed, filled with hidden clues that lead you deeper into a storyline, riddled with danger, romance, and scandalous family secrets. I've personally ventured through the ornate parlors of New York to the charming streets of Paris within this game, each chapter peeling back layers of a complex narrative that's as engaging as it is visually stunning. Beyond just solving mysteries, June's Journey invites you to escape into an era of opulence as you build and customize your very own estate island. It's the perfect blend of challenge and relaxation that I find incredibly refreshing, especially after delving into the often intense themes of our podcast. For those of you who thrive on solving puzzles and uncovering stories, June's Journey offers a chance to channel your inner detective. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Step into June's shoes and help her solve the ultimate mystery. Can you uncover the truth behind her sister's tragic demise? Now, let's dive back into our own mysterious journey here on Obscura. Stay tuned. Keep your wits about you. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Catherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true even for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do the same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Listener, I've watched this video, and honestly, it's 20 minutes well spent. The health of my animals means everything to me. This stuff has improved the coats and energy of mine, and they love it. Normally they are picky with food, but they really enjoy this stuff. Go to badlandsfood.com/obscura and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/obscura. Ignoring the body, the officer reaches over the dead suspect and finds the second handgun. He places this one on the ground next to the other. All the while, Tedesco stands guard with pistol raised. You can't be too sure the man is deceased. People have survived worse, even if what was once Martel's face has collapsed into a bloody pulp. Loacano again tries to lift the man by the arm to check behind him. He finally pulls Martel into a sitting position and finds no weapon behind the body. When the officer checks one gun, he tells Tedesco that it looks empty. This is because the .22 caliber is. Now, the .38 caliber revolver, on the other hand, that one's fully loaded. Had Martel freed the correct hand, he wouldn't have dry-fired. You could fill in the blanks and what would have happened.
We have rescue en route, Lake County en route as well. You have rescue coming straight interstate.
Have him come straight in.
9-4.
I was able to grab my radio, and he grabbed my hand. I don't know if I came over. I could have taken him too.
I didn't. I pulled up and I heard you screaming. Let's get him out of the car. I don't know if we should get this guy out or what.
I would leave him. Because the guns are right here.
Okay. I heard screaming and I wasn't...
I was trying to
scream. I didn't know if it was you, if it was...
Because I was trying to grab my radio to scream 1032, and he grabbed my arm. And I was like, I'll leave. He was like, okay, then let go of my gun. And I was like, no, I can't do that.
Connected to a homicide.
Huh?
Connected to a homicide. Good job. It's legit. No front plate in the front. Was he sleeping or?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's drunk because...
He had that look on his face.
Yeah.
But
he's got beer in the back, an open bottle right there.
I just need it for right now.
I have hand sanitizer in my car. You want it?
I got some too.
Listener, are you interested in merch? I get merch requests all the time, and so I'm announcing these specialty handcraft mugs called the Shadow and Light Mug, exclusively crafted for fans of Obscura Podcast. You'll have to check them out yourself, and I don't want to waste too much of your time, but if you want these mugs, head to our Patreon. There's a public post, and you don't have to be a member or anything. But you have to see these mugs. They look amazing. They are handcrafted and from Indiana, and they have the Obscura label branded on there. This mug looks like an old discarded thing in the best way, like something found at a crime scene. You'll have to check it out. It's sold at a great value. So if you want to see these mugs, if you want one for yourself, if you want to be a part of the Cool Kids Club, head over to patreon.com/obscura, and it's one of the first posts on there. It's open to everyone. They're called the Shadow and Light Mug. At the scene, with the man growing colder and the two officers waiting for backup, the two experience an adrenaline dump. The hangover from the events that transpired reared its ugly head. Paramedics are on the way, as is further backup and a supervisor.
You all right?
I'm a little scared. Like, I'm waiting for him to pop back up.
85-21 for information. The vehicle was wanted out of Meadville, Pennsylvania. It says it was supposed to be occupied by Kenneth Edwin Martell.
10-4. Any physical descriptors on that male?
There is not. I can contact them to see if they have anything further for us.
If you could, please.
10-4.
443 is subject to arm 2 revolvers.
I am never...
10-4. Are you and your partner 10-2?
We are 10-2 right now, yes.
I don't know what...
10-4.
Huh?
I don't know what I would have done if you didn't show up when you did.
You would have done the right thing.
I couldn't get to my gun.
Did he grab your weapon arm?
No. So he had both of his hands on his gun.
Uh-huh.
And so I grabbed the barrel and I pushed it down. But I had to use both of my arms to get the strength that I needed to overpower him. And then I went to go grab the mic. I called. She was trying to scream 1032, 1032. But he grabbed my arm or my hand. And my gun hand was holding his barrel down.
with Loacano shaken from having taken a life. He seems like a good guy. In the days that followed, Officer Loacano was ruled justified for the shooting. Both he and Officer Tedesco were considered heroes by the department and the media. Time marched on. Both officers were given 6 weeks off to deal with the events of that night. When the time came to return to work, Tedesco didn't feel ready. Physically, she left the scene of the incident long ago. Something was wrong. Her mind never left that gravel road. At nights, the dreams came. Tedesco locked in an internal struggle with the now dead suspect, Martel's arms raising inch by inch, his soulless eyes staring into hers. And when he breaks that grasp, he points his gun at Tedesco. And then she wakes up. The nightmare, a passenger in her day-to-day life. She's experiencing PTSD. Listener. Tedesco's boss tells her to put on her big girl pants. She asks if she can work with a partner and on the day shift. Her request is declined. It's back on her regular shift. She'll be out there alone. Tedesco works the shift for a while, but she's not the same. In many ways, Tedesco will always be out there on that gravel road, dark and surrounded by trees, her hands grasping that man's arms. In all the ways that matter, this tug of war never ended. Nor will it ever end for her. Because Tedesco is cursed and cursed again. The flash in the pan minor fame, the appreciation from her colleagues, none of that matters. Not when Tedesco rarely occupies the present, and she finds herself watching from the outside of her own body. This affects her work. Her performance slips. She's a shadow of her former self. Tedesco makes mistakes. Errors noticed by the wrong higher-ups, or the right, depending on your perspective. And the woman who was once hailed a hero by the department, the media, her media family, is fired.
A former Lake Moore police officer once hailed as a hero says she was fired a year later for having PTSD. Here's a live look at where the former officer and her attorney have just finished outlining a federal lawsuit filed suing the department and its police chief. At one point, the officer claims a few months after a violent traffic stop, she said she wasn't ready to go back out on the streets. She says another officer told her to pull up her big girl panties and get back on the street. Jackie Kostick joins us now with more.
In that federal lawsuit, Brianna Tedesco says she was wrongly fired by the department due to a disability. In this case, PTSD, stemming from a violent confrontation she had on the job back in 2018. Body-worn camera footage shows the moment Tedesco approached a suspicious vehicle parked in the woods. A man at the wheel who they later learned was murder suspect Kenneth Martel. When she asked for ID, he pulled a gun instead. A tussle ensued. Tedesco's partner ran up and shot at Martel, killing him. After the incident, Tedesco was hailed a hero and subsequently fired a year later. She alleges because of the post-traumatic stress disorder she suffered after the incident. Tedesco says with this lawsuit, she's seeking more than to be reinstated by the department and damages.
Well, I feel like I have an opportunity to be a voice for a community of officers that are struggling with mental health but are afraid to speak out about it because they will face retaliation from their department. That's the unfortunate circumstance in today's law enforcement society. So I'm hoping to change that, bring light to this stigma in law enforcement. Departments need to be better equipped with resources for their officers before a critical incident happens and not scramble to locate one doctor after an incident occurs.
We reached out to the village of Lake Moore about this lawsuit, and they said they do not comment on pending litigation. Jackie Kostick.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.